The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time once again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here's your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. Robin's nearby, but she's getting ready to go on the air. We are actually in we're in Howard County. We are staying at a hotel in Hanover near Arundel Mills, and the show today is right up the street here at the Howard County Fairgrounds. So we just decided to broadcast from here today. It's kind of cool. Be able to do that, and we hope you're hearing us okay. Somebody send us a message and let us know that we're rocking and rolling. And you know, you never know from these remote locations. It was a difficult time getting on the Wi-Fi. I don't think we ever did. I think we're on Robin's hotspot on her phone, so we're just kind of winging it here. it's not a nice day out. It's overcast. It's I just checked the temperatures from Oakland, Maryland to Salisbury, and it's 43 to 45 across the board. So it's going up in the mid-50s today, but I think it's going to rain most of the day. So we're not sure. But it's a good day to go to the show if you're coming out to Howard County. Bring that old whitetail buck or seek a deer or black bear that you black bear skull that you obtained through hunting or found, and we'll get them all measured up for the record book. Uh-oh. I'm getting some messages here, and I think I need to turn my phone down. Oh, there's Captain Don says, sounds great. Well, thank you, Captain. We appreciate that. So, here we go. Off to see the wizard, the WCBM wizard of the outdoors. So, this is the Outdoors and Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, and we're seeing varied catches of all kinds. When people are able to get out, they're getting out and going fishing. We're seeing some pickerel. We're seeing some perch. We're seeing some yellow perch, a few white perch, and you know, the folks are just after them. On that beautiful day we had the other day when it was in the 70s, some fellows were out and they were actually targeting snakeheads, and were able to catch a couple snakeheads. So that's a good sign, I think, that things are doing well. I'm learning a lot. I you may know I've ventured into the world of publishing a magazine about fishing. I haven't done that in, oh, let's see, 1998 was the last time I dealt with a lot of fishing. I mean, we put a little Fishing Outlook in the Hunting Quarterly in the spring issue, but nothing like this where we're focusing on the invasives. You know, the magazine is called Big As Fish, BIGAZZFISH, the website of the same name. You'll see some amazing fish on there. But I'm learning a lot about these invasives, and some of them are good, and some of them are adaptable to, well, just about any environment we have in the Chesapeake region. I'm finding out how they've spread into all the tributaries of the Chesapeake Bay. I'm learning a lot from a lot of different people. So at this age, to be able to learn something, I'm happy. I'm happy with what I'm learning. I'm talking to scientists. I'm talking to researchers. I'm talking to people who are in the world of conservation. Just yesterday, I reached out to all of our state officials who are involved in all the different aspects of the invasives. I reached out to the folks for the Fish and Wildlife Service. Folks at the Chesapeake Bay Foundation have been extremely helpful. And, you know, some well-known writers in Maryland and Virginia and around the region have also contributed. We've got some young writers who practice the craft and are willing to write about it, craft of bow fishing for the invasives, a craft of fishing out of a kayak. So we're pretty excited about this new venture. We should be out in a few weeks. Just looking for more pictures from our listeners, and we're about ready to launch our Facebook page here next week, our social media. So website's up and running if you'd like to take a look. It's, as I mentioned, BIGAZZFISH, bigazfish.com, and you'll see a little bit about what we're doing there. Not a lot of content, I'll be honest with you. The mission statement's there, the purpose is there. There's a photo, the draft photo of the cover. We're not sure that's going to be the cover yet, but it looks like it's got to be a contender. And there's some pricing information and some contact information. But as far as actual reading anything, well, we got to publish it first. We got to put it together, and then we'll launch it on the website as well as printed copies in the local store near you. We're grateful to the folks who are becoming our advertisers all across the region.
Inaugural adventure,
yeah, our premier issue. So we're looking forward to getting that word out to you and talking with you. But right now it's time to talk to us, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. And as I mentioned, if you're coming out to the Maryland Sportsman and Outdoor Show at Howard County Fairgrounds today, Bucks, Bears, Stags will be there. You'll meet a couple of our measures, and you'll hopefully see some nice deer. We're getting some notifications that people are coming and bringing their deer. And, you know, a lot of times people just walk in and here's an amazing animal that we hadn't heard anything about, and they want to put it in a record book, and we're happy with that. I got to give a shout out to our scoring director. His name's Bob Newton. He lives in Cecil County, and he is a mentee of Fred Horn, and many of you know Fred. Fred measured probably 300-400 animals here in Maryland over 30 years, and Fred has turned over some notes and photos and information to Bob, and Bob is tracking down some of the amazing top deer from many generations ago. We're finding deer from the 50s and 60s and 70s, and talking to these people, talking to the families, and we're grandfathering those old deer that have just kind of haven't been recognized or noticed for years. We're bringing them back into the spotlight, and we're putting them in the next record book, which will be out this fall. So I'm pretty happy with that, and so is Bob. It's kind of a mission of love on his part, isn't it, Robin? So, yep. Oh, my goodness. Well, sure would welcome a caller, but while we're waiting, let's talk about Clyde Sports Shop's Let's Go Fishing 10-day sale. That is wound down to a 2-day sale today and tomorrow at Clyde Sports Shop. They're at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway exit number 9. You can save on premium monofilament line. They'll pull it. Fill your spools up. Just bring your empty spools in. They'll fill them up with premium mono for just one, starting at just 1.5 cents per yard. Half price if it's more than, you know, like 4 cents a yard, you're going to get it for two. If it's six, you're going to get it for three. So take your empty spools in and put the new fresh line on there, getting ready for fishing season. Doesn't include the Power Pro braid line, but it does have all the monofilament. I mean, it's time to fill your trolling reels and everything else. So they're featuring Shakespeare, in particular the Ugly Stick, Fluger rods and reels. There's a sale on the President series of Fluger reels. There's a sale on the Penn Battle 3 series reels, and all rod and reel combos are on sale. Store-wide sale, all fishing tackles, 10% off or more. Rods, reels, combos, fishing tackle, and so forth. Doesn't include bait or licenses, but they've got it all. They've got kids combos there. Get the kiddies ready for fishing, and I think I'll be checking that out myself. And don't forget about the St. Croix rods, a wonderful selection of St. Croix rods. Live and frozen bait, minnows, black salties, licenses, rod repairs, and all the tackle for all the fish that you want to pursue. That's Clyde's 10-day sale today and tomorrow, and then it ends at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. ClydeSports.com. That's the website. They're open 7 days a week. That's for sure. You know, I went by Backyard Billy's the other day, and there's so much stuff. So much stuff. You look in their backyard, and they've got is somebody calling me? No. So I'm getting a text here. They've got that giant selection of colorful poly and hardwood outdoor and patio furniture with tables and chairs. They've got those Adirondack chairs stacked up. You can head out in the backyard, and you'll find gym sets and tiki bars and storage sheds in Backyard Billy's backyard. You'll see the chicken coops, a wide variety of chicken coops. You'll see the dog pens and kennels, a free setup and delivery of the bigger stuff within 60 miles, and free delivery to the Maryland and Delaware beaches, that's for sure. Backyard Billy's on Kent Island is your go-to place for making backyard fun. Backyard's fun. You look around, you see you need a new picnic table, you need a new grill. Well, they can handle all that. Inside the showroom, they've got those pellet grills by Traeger, the smoker grills by Big Green Egg and Kamado Joe, and an assortment of fire pits and rings and all kinds of great-looking garden decorations and furniture for any lifestyle, theme, and budget. And Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace and hearth dealer in the region. BackyardBilly's.com, 410-827-4500. 410-827-4500, open 7 days a week. Route 50, exit 44, Graysonville. Your backyard's going to look just great. Stop by this weekend. We'll be right back.
Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your Linex Bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, or any kind of tools. Have your Linex Bedliner installed at Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. Catonsville Linex is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver, 410-455-0800, 455-0800. These Linex dealers can install tough truck gear accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. And ask about the Linex fleet services. Do what I did and have Linex install your spray-on truck bedliner and truck gear today. Linex.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, MadonnaSeafood.com.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Froggy went a-courtin' and he did ride, Froggy went a-courtin' and he did ride, Froggy went a-courtin' and he did ride a sword and a pistol by his side, He rode right up to Miss Mouse's door,
Let me in.
He rode right up to Miss Mouse's door, He rode right up to Miss Mouse's door and he hit it so hard that he made it roar,
All right. Let's talk to Ray. Good morning, Ray. How are you?
Time I've called in, but I sure have been listening to you for a long time. And
well, I'm glad you called.
Anyway, the reason I gave you a call, a couple of weeks ago, you were talking about muskrats and things like that, and different muskrats dishes and things. However, you said, I got to tell you about when I lost a boot. The story you were going to tell about losing a boot in, I don't know, some sort of swampy, gooey area. So
yep.
then you didn't tell the story. All of a sudden, mentally, you changed directions and never got back to it. So I'm calling.
Oh, so you want to hear the stuck boot story?
I want to hear the boot story.
And all right.
And then someday right. I'll call you back and I'll tell you the great fishing story of my friend that's no longer alive. All the times he fell in the water. All right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, yeah. That was me when I was a kid. I had a pair of hip boots on, and I would always manage to wade out about a quarter inch deeper than the hip boots came up on my feet.
Yeah.
Always went home with wet legs and wet feet and the boots full of water. But that was me as a kid going fishing.
Yeah. So, I was fishing one time the hip boots. Oh, I slid down a hill. Deep creek I was. Slid down the hill and into the water. And the hip boots have to. I had waders on. Almost drowned at me, you know. And
yeah, sure.
So I just stood in there in my dungarees and fished. So that was it. But anyway, I'm
looking
for the story. So, pardon?
Here's the boot story. I used to bow hunt.
I'll hang up and let you tell the story.
You can stay on the line. That's fine. Stay right there if you want. So here's the boot story.
I'll hang up, but I'm going to listen to the story. All right.
All right. You do that. So I'm walking in a trail through the marsh, and it wasn't a great trail, but it was a trail. And I'm bow hunting for Sika deer. And I walk in, and right directly in front of me, I mean within 10 yards, a great blue heron that I hadn't seen jumped up and made that noise. And I thought the phoenix was rising out of the ashes. It scared me so bad. You see a giant bird unseen, and there he is in the air making that noise within, 20, 30 feet. It'll get your attention. Well, I kind of walked over that way. Boot went right down in the marsh, up to my knee, and there I was. So I've got my bow, and I'm sitting on the ground, and I've got my leg in the hole in the marsh. And I'm tugging, and I'm pulling, and I'm pulling, and I'm tugging, and I'm tugging, and I'm pulling. And I didn't think I was going to get out of there. I had to basically kind of lay down and push with my left foot and yank on the right foot at the same time. And I know I was in there for 10 minutes, struggling in the marsh. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not getting out of here. Well, the story gets better. I finally get unstuck. Get up in my little ladder stand, a little wood platform, no safety belt, sitting there watching a deer trail. And I noticed there's a lot of birds. Now, that great blue heron was one thing. But these little birds were flicking back and forth, and they were yellow-shafted flickers and cardinals. And they were in their own little groups, and they were going from tree to tree. I guess they were looking for something to eat. And there was a little hawk overhead, I think it was a sharp shin or something like that, and he was diving through the trees, and he's trying to catch a bird, which is what they do. And he's diving after the cardinals, and that didn't work. He's diving after the flickers, and that didn't work, so he just kind of gave up. So I look down at my feathers, and I've got, hold on, what, Robin? Okay.
I was trying to signal you so I didn't have to say that on air.
Well, say good morning to everybody.
I will. Let me get my headphones on. Good morning, everybody.
Doesn't matter. I was telling a story. That's all right.
I haven't learned yet that you can't signal Alan like a normal husband.
Excuse me. Pulling your fingers apart and pointing at your fingernails doesn't. It's not a radio signal. It's not authorized. Oh, is that what you were doing, painting them? Okay. All right. Well, the rest of the story goes like this. So I saw the bird, saw the the hawk. And I looked down at my feathers, and they were red with a yellow cock feather. And I thought, well, because this little bird flew over me once. I'm like, okay, I don't need to attract the attention of a hawk. And there's the feathers on my arrows, and they're red and they're yellow, just like the birds. So I put my glove over, my camo glove over my feathers, and I'm sitting there, and I'm watching. And all of a sudden, I hear a little whoosh, and that's all it was, off to my right. And I look over, and as I look over, I look directly into the eye of a red-tailed hawk, a big red-tailed hawk, with his talons outstretched, going for my feathers. And he is in my chest. I mean, he's right there. I could have grabbed him. I didn't feel like it, but I could have grabbed him. So, you know, I'm deer hunting, so I got to be quiet, right? So I very casually went, oh! And flailed my arms, almost stood up, and he just silently turned and went back in the woods and left me shaken. I mean, left me shaken. Needless to say, there were no deer the rest of the evening, but I'll never forget that experience. I hope you enjoyed it. I may have told it before, and the retelling is even better. So let's see who's on the line. Glenn in Chestertown. We got to do somebody else. No, we're good. Glenn in Chestertown. Good morning, Glenn. How are you doing?
Good morning, Glenn.
How are you all?
Doing good. How about you?
Okay, I guess. They say I'm on the top side of the grass. So.
That is exactly right.
I look at every day like that.
Yes, sir. Got to have a positive attitude. Got to stay.
I thought we were going to see a gang fight last night.
Oh, man, it was nasty last night out here in the parking lot of the Wawa.
We're overlooking the back door of the Wawa.
Yes, we are. And if you wanted to hear a loud muffler like you hear at a tractor pull, just show
or
up.
Or at our house in Easton.
Or at our house in Easton with our next-door neighbor, just head down here to Wawa at midnight. There was some jackass running around here. Up and down Arundel Mills Boulevard, up and down. These are little back roads off 295 South. If you go 295 South off 100, the first exit is Arundel Mills Boulevard. And this guy was up and down Arundel Mills Boulevard, out towards the mall, back towards 295. Loud, 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 loud muffler. And annoying. You know, one of those deals, you know. And this guy's up and down, up and down. Finally, he pulls into the parking lot at Wawa. And Robin looks out, and there's like 10 people surrounding the car. And I don't know if they were fan club or what they were.
I don't know. Somebody gave somebody the finger, so somebody went in the finger.
Somebody did. Yep, somebody did. So, anyway, finally sat there, and then it was over. But I don't know who he was trying to impress. With his car running up and down like a madman. But I told Robin, I said, it's midnight. I mean, there's got to be some noise restrictions around here. I don't know if they can't catch the guy or don't care. But, you know, back in this section, there's several hotels and there's a lot of apartment complexes. You know, they built up this area here because of the expansion of Fort Meade several years ago. So there's a lot of military families here. And if I'm a moron like this guy was, I wouldn't be doing that. You know, you never know when some military guy's going to come out and confront you. So anyway, I don't know what happened, but there were him and another car sitting side by side in the parking lot, running in and out of the store, and eventually they both left. So it ended peacefully, and we were able to get back to sleep. So that's our story, Glenn. We weren't listening to loud mufflers on purpose like you do at a tractor pull. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, they were not on the playlist for, what do you call it, sleep-inducing sounds. I can't think of the word.
Oh, white noise. White noise, green noise, brown noise.
Brown noise is the new one.
Yeah, there's all kinds of noise out there. It's supposed to relax you. You know, so.
I'm not sure what the difference in noise color is, but I need to look that up.
What'd you say, Glenn?
I'm just saying, yeah.
Yep, you've got the perfect noise level up there in Chestertown. Are you close to a highway at all or a roadway?
Yes, not very.
I mean, you don't hear a lot of traffic at bedtime, do you?
Yeah, some.
Some, yeah, but not enough to.
No, not that much.
Yeah.
When I moved out of D.C. from when I stayed at my grandparents' house, I had gotten used to the street noises and the fire engines every night.
Yep.
It took a long time to get used to not having them.
Exactly. That's what happened when I moved to Easton. You know, I lived right off of Liberty Road, and motorcycles and police cars and fire engines and traffic. That was my white noise to put me to sleep. I moved to Easton, all that quiet. But now I love it. Enjoy it.
Now we don't have quiet. Now we have mufflers and chickens.
Well, we do have the chickens and the ducks. So I will give you that. So.
They say the rooster's gone, but.
I haven't heard him. So. All right, Glenn. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call.
Yep, I'm set. Had to figure out when the 30 May is going to be yet.
I think we're going to be up there in the middle of May. I'm thinking it's the 13th, 14th, 18th, something like that. I'll let everybody know. I'll let everybody know. What's that?
See, March hadn't quite got over yet, so we got time.
Yeah, I know. We got a little time.
You're just excited about seeing us, that's all.
That's right. Yep. So, yeah, we'll see you up there. Okay?
That's the neatest thing. Anybody who wants to say hi this morning when we're sitting at the booth, please say hi.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that reminds me.
Oh, yes.
We gave tickets away. The promoter never sent the tickets. Thanks, Glenn. Talk to you soon. Next week again.
Great.
Okay, buddy. Yep. See you. So we gave tickets away. The promoter never sent the tickets. So I called everybody except somebody named Chuck. We don't have a last name, and the phone number was incomplete. So Chuck, if you heard us mention your name that you won tickets, give us a call. Give Aaron a call. Give him your phone number if you'd still like to go to the show, and we'll put your name on the list. I have your name, Chuck, on the list, but I don't have your last name. And I wasn't able to call you because, like I said, the phone number wasn't complete. So if you heard your name that you won tickets when we gave three sets of tickets away 2 weeks ago, not last week, 2 weeks ago, give us a call here, and we'll make sure that we put your name on the list to pick
just
up your ticket.
Give us your last name. I can't remember it. I can't. It's on the tip of my tongue, and I know the last name. I just can't remember the last name.
I got you.
But I'll remember you if you call and give us your last name. That's why we know we got the right Chuck.
Exactly. Okay. You got that, Aaron?
John says the show's going in and out.
Show's going in and out?
Uh-huh.
Okay, maybe it's you moving around the room. Maybe your phone needs to be over here closer.
It shouldn't make a difference, but okay.
Okay. We're sorry about the poor signal. The Wi-Fi here at the hotel is a little difficult to figure out, but as long as we're still coming in semi-clearly, we're good with that. As long as you can understand us and hear us, and we'll just do our best to keep our microphones close to our mouth and talk distinctly. So we will. All right.
And if it continues to happen, let us know.
Yes, please do. I'll call in and do it on the phone. So, all right. Any callers on the line there, Aaron? All right. Let's talk to Clay. Hey, Clay. Good morning.
Hi, Clay.
Hey, good morning, Alan, Robin. Alan, you're coming in fine, but Robin is fading in and out terribly.
Okay, I'll move back over there in just a minute. I'm not going to say anything for a few minutes, and then I'll start talking again.
Yeah, you got to move your mic in, baby.
All right. Hey, I had no idea, like I told you yesterday, I had no idea that I'd won the tickets, and when you called me, I've already got plans for the weekend I couldn't get out of. So
okay.
I'm not going to be able to make it. So if you can get a caller that wants to use my tickets, feel free to give them my last name, and they can pick my tickets
okay.
up.
All right, that sounds good. We'll make that arrangement through Aaron.
I appreciate getting them, but I had I must have been away from the radio when you did the drawing.
Possibly.
I had no idea. So, but I hope it's a good show. I hope you have a good time.
Oh, we will. We always do. This is this is a band of brothers, this team that we have for Bucks, Bears, Stags, I will tell you.
They are awesome.
We all get along. You know, the guys that do the measuring are highly proficient in what they do. Some of them have been doing it for decades. Others are a little newer to the game. But they're precise. They're attentive. They're accurate. And they know what they're doing, and I'll tell you, they will do everything they can to make sure that your animal scores as much as he possibly can, according to the tail of the tape. And it's just fascinating to watch them work, you know, because the first thing they do is they look at they look at the antlers, and they count the points, and they try to see which. It's all about symmetry, you know, the Boone and Crockett scoring system. So they look at the animal, they try to see which point on which side matches up with the point on the other side. Then they determine that. They try to, you know, see if there's if the point comes off the beam or if the point comes off the point, if it's an odd point. They try to, you know, visually see how they're going to score this rack before they actually put the tape on it. Next thing they do, they get out their masking tape and they put masking tape at the base of each point so they know where the point meets the beam, and they mark that, and then they do their measurements. Some do it with a cable and up against a ruler. Other ones do it with a tape, but the cable and the ruler is the main thing. If the point is in discussion, if it's got to be 1 inch to measure, okay, they have a little tool, a little machined socket, looks like a socket on a socket wrench, that they can put that over the point, and it's exactly 1 inch in diameter, it's exactly 1 inch deep. And I don't mean within a thousandth, I mean it's exactly. And they put that on there to make sure that they're not missing a point that is supposed to be a point, or counting a point that isn't supposed to be a point. I mean, these guys have got the details down to just the absolute best. I mean, they're just—it's
amazing
poetry to watch. Actually, I mean, it's just poetry in motion, and so you know, and they calculate each measurement to the closest 1/8 of an inch. When it comes to a bear skull, it's to the 1/16 of an inch. So, it's pretty good to watch. It's pretty cool. So
now you bummed me out because I really want to meet these guys and see this. You know, but
well. You'll have another opportunity. Yep, you'll have another opportunity. So,
well, I hope so.
Yeah, me too.
Well, have a good day out there, and I'll talk to you probably next week.
Okay, Clay, thanks for the call.
Have a super day.
Appreciate your generosity.
See you later. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye. Here we go. All right, let's see. Who else we got here? Let's talk about another one of our sponsors. Let's talk about Spurry's Tire Service. So, on a little cold morning the other day, I was headed to Pennsylvania to call on some folks up there, and a light came on that I had never seen before, and it said, tire sensor error. I wonder what that's about. And then the little tire icon came on the dashboard and stayed lit. The signal went off, the warning went off, but the tire thing stayed lit. I thought, okay. So I called Brent Spurry on his cell phone, and he didn't answer, which I didn't figure he would. I know he's busy at the shop. So I texted him. Within about 2 minutes, call comes back. What's going on? Tire sensor light came on. What is it? Tire sensor malfunction came on. What does that mean? He said, I wouldn't worry about it. I said, okay. But he said, bring it in tomorrow. I said, well, the little tire icon is on the dashboard. He says, I'll just keep an eye on it. I said, okay. So throughout the day, it would come on once or twice, and then it was done. So I think maybe the cold kind of jacked up the sensor a little bit that morning and is likely to do, and it went off and never came back on. So that's beautiful when you have that kind of relationship with a company like Spurrier's Tire Service. It's located at the corner of Dover and Elliott Roads, just off Route 50 there in Easton, where the locals get their tires and auto service work done. Featuring American-made Bridgestone and Firestone tires, as well as Michelin, Yokohama, Spurrier's Tire Service has the tires for your car, your truck, any maker model. I mean, even that guy last night with the big jacked-up muffler, he could get his tires there, too. I don't think it would make his car any quieter, but might make his ride a little smoother. And Spurrier's Tire Service has any tire for any machine in your backyard or your barnyard. Garden tractors to farm tractors, all the farm equipment, lawn mowers, wheelbarrows, you name it, they've got the tires. Tire repair, full-service automotive repair, including checking, diagnosing, and repairing your vehicle when that check engine light comes on. 24-hour truck service and more has kept Spurrier's customers, including me, very satisfied for over 30 years. Stop by with no appointment needed for tires or call Spurrier's Tire Service in Easton, 410-822-7384. That's 410-822-7384. Stop by with no appointment needed for tires. I said that, but I'll say it again because it's that important. Visit their website, spurrierstire.com, 410-822-7384 for Spurrier's Tire Service. We'll be right back.
Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much but want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn in a family-friendly environment. And you can make your selection from the showroom when you're ready to own a firearm. Now, at Bel Air Gun Range, the public indoor gun range is open 7 days a week with no membership fee required. Rental firearms are on hand. Bel Air Gun Range memberships are available to individuals, couples, and families on an annual basis. The gun range stocks handguns, rifles, and shotguns for shooting sports and competition, hunting and home protection, ammunition too. And Bel Air Gun Range buys, consigns, sells, and transfers new and used firearms. Bel Air Gun Range offers personal firearms classes with an NRA-certified instructor. HQL courses can be taken in a group or virtually from the convenience of your home. For more details about Bel Air Gun Range, services, sales, and classes, stop by 2137 North Fountain Green Road in Bel Air, Maryland, or visit the website belairgunrange.com. The phone number is 410-399-9518. That's 399-9518. Be safe, shoot, and have fun at Bel Air Gun Range. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
How high is the water, mama? 2 feet high and rising. How high is the water, papa? She said it's 2 feet high and rising. But we can make it to the road in a homemade boat, cause that's the only thing we got left that'll float. It's already over all the wheat and oats. 2 feet high and rising. How high is the water, mama? 3 feet high and rising. How high's the water, papa? She said it's 3 feet high and rising. Well, the hives are gone, I lost my bees. Chickens are sleeping in the willow trees. Cows in water up past her knees. 3 feet high and rising.
Well, Aaron, I put a little pepper in this.
How high's the water, mama? 4 feet high and rising. How high's the water, papa? She said it's 4 feet high and rising. Hey, come look through the window pane. The bus is coming, gonna take us to the train. Looks like we'll be blessed with a little more rain, 4 feet high and rising. How high is the water, Mama?
All right. Well, I hope they can get that high today. That's for sure. That is for sure. So, we lost our beloved Aunt Toots this week.
Yes. I only met her once, maybe twice.
Mm-hmm.
The last, she was neat.
The last of the Miller siblings, my mother's sister.
How many siblings were there? There were a lot on both your family sides.
Oh, Dad had 11 brothers and 4 sisters, and Mom had 1 sister and 4 brothers.
Well, I thought it was more. Okay.
Yep, yep. She died at the ripe old age of 95, and one of my favorite Toot stories, and there's a bunch of them. Kathy and Eric and I were hunting. This is my wife passed on, and my stepson were hunting, and my dad was there. We were deer hunting on their family farm and the neighbor's farm. And that morning, I had 10 deer come by me. It was doe season. It was antlerless deer season. I had 10 deer come by me, and I missed one, and I couldn't figure out why. So I thought, okay, well, they went up that way this morning. They're going to come back down to the bedding area where they came from this afternoon. And I was sat in the same spot, and I'd surveyed the countryside where the deer had passed, and I found an opening that I could shoot through. And I also found that my scope was on like 3 power, and these deer were maybe 80 yards across the field. So I turned my scope up, and I surveyed the area, and there's a little hole I could shoot through, and sure enough, deer came back down through that evening. I picked out a big one. It hit that hole I shot and knew I hit it. So I walked over and found the deer. Eventually, it took a minute, found the deer, got it dressed out, got it dragged, started dragging it over towards the farm. And sure enough, it's getting darker and darker and darker. And here comes everybody. They're helping with the deer. And we're way out there. And now it's dark. And it's half hour past dark. And all of a sudden, I hear the fire siren go off in town, little town of Warriors Mark, Pennsylvania, Huntington County. Didn't pay it any attention. We get the deer out in the middle of the field. Here comes Uncle Don on his tractor. I'm like, what's going on? So here's Don. He comes up. What's going on, Don? He goes, well, your Aunt Tootsie got worried about you. I said, yeah. He said, sent me out to look for you. And she called the fire department. I'm like, oh, my gosh. There were no cell phones back in the day. We just took a long time to get that deer out. And he says, I'll go back and tell her you're okay. I said, great. Well, we'll get the deer in the truck and we'll be right down. So that was one of my favorite stories. And there's a bunch.
Well, my favorite thing was that even after her husband had passed on.
Yeah, Uncle Don died in 2007.
She still continued till right before she passed away, not long before she passed away.
Last year,
she to cut the cemetery grass and
by
maintain
herself.
By herself.
Yeah.
All those gravestones and the care that she put into it. And she was out there, she wrote it, didn't she?
Yep, she wrote it. Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was the neatest story. I could just see this little 90-year-old woman out there on a tractor.
Yep.
You know.
She did.
I just thought it was cool.
That's what she did. Yep. Now we remember you, Aunt Toots. A lot of good times, a lot of good memories.
Little short thing.
Oh, yeah. Yes, she was. So, wiry.
Survived a lot of stuff in her life.
Milked a lot of cows, that's for sure. So, all right, let's see what we got here. We have Chuck in Glen Burnie and then Brian in Glen Burnie on hold. So, Chuck, good morning. How are you? Are you the fellow that won the tickets?
No, that's not me. No.
Not you. Okay.
No, I won a couple weeks ago tickets down to the shore. I think I sent you a
picture. Yeah.
You called me while I was trout fishing.
And that's right. I remember.
That day. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to coming up to Harre County to meet you guys. Robin, you'll appreciate this. Last year, I walked around that place 3 different times to get a word with Alan. But he was in conversation with 3 other people at different times. So you had 4 people involved in three conversations. I don't mean nothing by it, but there was only one person talking.
Yeah, I know it.
But anyway, I'm looking forward to coming up today. And
he does his walkabout.
Huh?
He does his walkabout.
Well, hopefully today.
I do a little walkabout during the show at some point. But.
I'll be on my little red scooter. So if you see a lady on a red scooter, that's me.
Well, I'm going to send my 5 and 7 year old grandsons over to you this morning, Robin, when we get up there to say hi.
That's fine because I'm missing mine right now, and I got some tattoos for them that we can put on them.
Oh, okay, cool. All right. Well, today is opening day of trout season.
And, yes, it is. I'm surprised you're not going.
He's going to bring me the kids, and he's going trout fishing.
Yeah,
I know what's
probably.
Happening.
Yeah.
Well, I because of my past experiences on the weekends, I'm fortunate that I can fish during the week.
You fish during the week. That's exactly right.
Why I called. You know, was to ask you. It's with so much put and take. You know, that opening day of trout season isn't what it used to be. I remember back in the day, I went one opening day of trout season, and I swore I'd never do it again. Because there was like 50 guys around this one hole, and as soon as it started, it was bang, bang, bang. Lines were getting all tangled up.
Yep.
It was so long. I remember that there was a DNR officer there, and as people were coming out, he was frisking their waders to make sure that they didn't shove any, you know, number 6 or number 7 down in there.
Sounds like Pennsylvania, buddy. Yeah. Sounds like back in the day in Pennsylvania when I was a kid.
Yeah, but because we have so much put and take now, I don't think there's that the closure period is, you know, very limited.
That's right.
What's put and take?
They stock, they do preseason stocking. They start it in like February. Oh. And you can fish up, there's like a 1 week closure on the stream. You know, and it's a rolling scale type of thing. And you can pretty much trout fish anywhere you want. On a year-round basis, except for that 1 or 2 weeks it's closed.
I gotcha.
Yeah, back in the day in Howard County, they used to stock Wild Lake. And my dad drove a handicapped school bus. And there was a group of seniors that would sit in the parking lot because DNR would only post a week. They wouldn't tell you the day. They would just tell you the week. And there would be a group of 6 or 7 seniors that would sit in the parking lot and wait on that hatchery truck through the week. And my dad would ride through that neighborhood, picking up and dropping off kids. And then, of course, you know, he'd check in with them guys. And if he'd see that they were out fishing, he knew that they had stocked them. So let me move on to my other point because I know you got another caller in.
Yes, sir. I got
the trout the other week, got them cleaned up, cleaned the sink out. As I'm cleaning the sink out, I pull out a treble hook. So evidently one of these trout, somebody had, you know, hooked onto it. It got off and it swallowed this treble hook. And it got me thinking, last year I caught 2 trout a week apart. Each one of them both had a 6-inch plastic worm in their gut. And I thought that was highly unusual. So my question to you would be, what's the weirdest thing you've ever cut out of a fish?
Cigarette butt.
Oh, that's kind of weird, yeah. But if it...
That was a trout. That was a trout.
And, you know, like during that cicada deal, you could throw anything top of the water, you know.
Yeah.
But these trout that I got, they weren't but, what, maybe 11 inches? And the worm
we
was
cut
like
a
fish.
We cut...
Yeah.
Was that put and take? Maybe they're feeding them plastic worms.
Yeah, they're guys are just discarding the plastic worms, and the fish are coming up and
eating. Line instead of
yeah, it's kind of weird.
But well, we did cut a 10-inch pickerel out of a 28-inch pickerel.
That's interesting. Yeah,
we
crayfish in there, but
that's natural stuff.
But to get a worm like that and a trout,
Trout are stupid. I caught one on a gummy worm one time, a piece of red gummy worm.
Well, sometimes
I caught one.
Trout fishing, and man, they can outsmart me.
I caught one on a piece of orange peel that I'd hooked as a trailer to a MEPS spinner, MEPS aglia spinner, one time.
Oh well,
And I guess I don't know if it was the scent or if it was the flash or the color, whatever it was, but he bit the orange peel. Mm. Yeah, I like to mess with trout because they're that stupid. So.
Well, it's fun. I really enjoy it. I truly do. And I've been fishing this one hole since the 18th of January. So I've been very lucky. I've been,
Well, so Chuck, leave your last name with Aaron, okay?
Okay.
And we'll make sure you get Clay's tickets, okay?
Oh, well, that'd be nice. Thanks.
Yep. He left them for you, buddy.
Okay. All right. Well, cool.
All right, don't hang up. Aaron will get Aaron will pick up. What, Robin?
Phone number also.
Yeah, leave your phone number if you would. That'd be great. I think I have it, but it's fine.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk. Thanks for the call, Chuck. We'll see you later today or tomorrow. Let's talk to Brian in Glen Burnie. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Hey, Al. How you doing?
Doing good. How about you?
All righty. I ran into a little problem this weekend. Well, 2 weeks ago, and I'm wondering if you could answer my question.
I'll try.
I went on DNR website to renew my fishing license. DNR website did not recognize me. I'm 57 years old. I've had a license all my life. And you give them your DNRED number and your driver's license, and I wasn't in their memory or nothing. So I went round and round with them. Finally, I got what happened was I have a commercial driver's license. Last summer, Maryland decides to change our driver's license number.
Well, I got
DNR,
it.
DNR don't have that number.
Hey,
is this going to affect me when I get my hunting license next year?
I don't know the answer to that.
Does it?
But I do know there's the music in the background.
We'll try
so
to find out for you.
Hang on through the break, and we'll talk a little further about it. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, everybody, get out, stay safe. Come by the Howard County Fairgrounds for the Maryland Outdoor Show and say hi to us. See you there.